WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
As the NBA season climaxes, we're going to listen back to an interview with one of the greatest players in the history of basketball, Bill Russell. In his 13 years with the Boston Celtics, he helped lead his team to 11 championships. He was chosen the NBA's most valuable player 5 times. In 1967, Russell became the NBA's first African-American head coach when he replaced Celtics coach Red Auerbach. Russell served as player coach for 2 years, then retired as a player. For 4 years in the mid-70s, he was the head coach and general manager of the Seattle Supersonics. In 1980, the Professional Basketball Writers Association of America declared him the greatest player in the history of the NBA. In 1999, Sports Illustrated named the Boston Celtics the greatest team of the 20th century and Bill Russell the greatest team player in history. His book, Russell Rules, has just come out in paperback. I spoke with him last year when the book was first published. Russell revolutionized the defensive game. I asked him how he blocked the shots of his greatest opponent, Wilt Chamberlain, who was 5 inches taller than Russell.
When you jump to shoot, you cannot jump as high as you can. Because if you do, you won't be able to shoot at the end of the height. Because see, the shot starts in your feet and flows up through your body and leaves on your fingertips. And so most guys that are good jumpers will jump as high as they, maybe as half as high as they can jump when they shoot offensively. Mm-hmm. The defensive player is not under those constraints. He can jump as high as he possibly can because he doesn't have to shoot at the end of the jump. And so when Wilt would take his jump, his fadeaway jump shot, first of all, I was left-handed. And so I didn't have to reach across my body to get to his right hand. So I picked up 3 inches right there. Then I could jump as high as I possibly can. He's limited to how high he can jump. So I pick up another 3 inches. So now I'm up with the ball. Now, but with him, if I did that too often, that would not be an intelligent thing for me to do. Because with all his physical talents, he was also very, very smart. And so if you did something to stop him, what he wanted to do, he would make adjustments. And you did not want him to make an adjustment. So what I would do sometimes is, rather than try to block the shot, is when he's setting up for the shot, push him another 2 inches away from the basket. That changes the angle. It's very, very minute, but it changes the angle. And so he's shooting from a different angle. And that will throw off the shots half of the time. And so he's shooting, and he's making some, and he's missing some. But I want him to have the thought that it's just because he's just shooting, not shooting good. Not that I was harassing him. Because I didn't want him to ever think that I was harassing him. Because that would not be a good idea.
No, it sounds to me that you take a very analytical approach to the game.
Well, I wouldn't put it all like intelligence. You've got to remember now, this is not rocket science. This is a game that kids play.
In the days when you and Wilt Chamberlain were playing and part of your job was to prevent him from scoring, could you have become friends with him off the court? I mean, would you ever hang out together? Or was it best for you to not really get to know him as a friend and as a person so that you could just be more kind of cold and calculating on the court?
Well, a couple things. First of all, I never tried to stop him from scoring. That would be a bad idea because, first of all, I'd be doomed to failure. To stop him from scoring, that wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. What my ambition was to make him less efficient. Say, if he gets 45 points.
Oh, right. Stop him from scoring as much. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
If he gets 45 points, if it took him 40 shots, then I've had a good night.
Right.
You understand me?
Yes.
Okay. As for friends, for 5 or 6 years, we had a Thanksgiving night game in Philadelphia at Convention Hall. In the middle of the afternoon, Wilt would come to the hotel, pick me up, and we go to his house. You know, he came from a large family, 6 or 7 kids, you know. And I would have Thanksgiving dinner with his mother and father and his sisters and brothers. And then his mother, bless her, would let me go and get in his bed and take a nap. And then we'd go to the game and just kick the hell out of each other.
And that was okay, huh? It didn't inhibit your ability to kick the hell out of him after, you know, his mother made your Thanksgiving dinner.
No, and it didn't bother him either. He didn't mind kicking the hell out of me. In fact, one of those nights he got 55 rebounds.
Right.
Against us. And so he was not inhibited in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Because, you know, when we got on the court, we were determined to outplay each other.
Right.
Now, the outplaying each other was for him to do what he did for his team as well as possible, and for me to do what I did for my team as well as possible, which were two different things.
Here's a really important question. How do you feel about the longer, baggier shorts that players wear today compared to the shorter, tighter ones that players wore in your day?
Well, see, when we were young and energetic, and the young ladies could see our thighs,
yeah,
we thought that was very attractive. But do you know how the long shorts came to be?
No, I don't.
Well, that's another thing we can thank my good friend, Michael Jordan. What happened was when he went to the Bulls, now this is a story that I've been told. When he went to the Bulls, he was, like all of us, he had some superstitions. So what he did was he wore his North Carolina blue and white shorts under his Bulls shorts. And so every time he'd fall or go do something like that, you could see that blue underneath. Well, from what I heard, the commissioner called and says, hey, listen, that's out of uniform. You cannot have that showing. So rather than stop wearing his shorts, he had his Bulls shorts made longer so they would cover up the blue. And so when Michael starts wearing longer shorts, and Michael was the man. And so everybody started wearing it. Hey, if Michael's wearing them, it's good enough for him. If that works for him, maybe I'll try it. Might help. And so all these guys are getting longer and longer shorts. I just think it's amusing as heck, you know? And then as a, you know, in this culture, we have a hair thing. When Bill Walton was really playing great at Portland, he wore a ponytail and a beard. And people up in arms about that. You know, athletes are not supposed to do that. That's for the hippies, you know? And then when I was a rookie, I hadn't started shaving, so I had a beard. And you have no idea how much conversation about the beard, which had nothing to do with anything. And now these guys are wearing these, they call cornrows. And the white guys can't do that. But when I was playing, a lot of the white guys grew crew cuts. I couldn't do that. And so, you know, it's like, it's just so funny to me when I see things that that people get upset about.
Right, and how things go in and out of fashion.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Bill Russell, one last question. Can you still jump? Do you have any reason to jump?
I jump with joy sometimes because that's an integral part of my life. One of the first things I remember as a kid was running along and just jumping, just for the joy. I think jumping is really, really, really important part of our psyche. You can jump for many reasons, you know, and this is an expression. And so now I don't try to dunk anymore. I go for more pedestrian type of activities nowadays. So there's a place where if I have to get one place or the other, I'd rather walk than run. So then when I get there, I can do whatever I want to do instead of having to sit down and rest for 10 minutes.
Yeah, right. Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Terry Gross, you have no idea what a thrill it is to converse with you.
Bill Russell recorded last year after the publication of his book, Russell Rules. It's just been published in paperback. This is Fresh Air.